coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Man, we got a good show for you today. Today, we are going to have on a newcomer, Salvatore De Janeiro. Salvatore, he's going to be on the show here in segments 2 and 3. He's a writer with USACarry.com. He's also a trainer and a competition shooter. So, boy, we're gonna learn how to deal with home incursions, how to answer your front door, or if you should answer your front door. So that's coming up in segments 2 and 3. Going to be a really good show. Lots of good information you're going to get on how to protect your family today. All right, what have I been up to? I'm kind of in a state of limbo right now. I mean, I finished Concealed Carry for Christians. I did Jack Pine's Strong. And whenever I'm in between projects, I'm a grumpy butt. I'm just a real grumpy butt when I'm not working on a project. And I got to figure out what book I'm going to write next. Is it going to be nonfiction? Is it going to be another novel? I go back and forth with it. Right now, I'm kind of leaning towards another apocalyptic type adventure. You know, basically the world ends and the family is struggling to survive and, you know, kill all the bad guys and, you know, for posterity. But hey, I want to know what you guys think. What books do you like the best of all of my books? Do you like the fiction? Do you like the nonfiction? Do you like Civilian Combat, Concealed Carry for Christians? Did you like Uncle Rodney? The God Virus series. Jack Pine Strong, should I write another one of those? Let me know, because, hey, you know, I'm half writing this for me because it's what I do, it's who I am, it's what I enjoy, but I also do it for you guys, too. I mean, there's no sense in writing something if no one's going to read it. So, send me an email at skipcoriel@hotmail.com. skipcoriel@hotmail.com. Let me know what you guys want, and I'll give it to you. All right. The garden is in. It's growing. So far, there are no rabbits or groundhogs trying to eat my garden, which is good. It's especially good for them, because if they get in there, I've got a brand new 17 caliber rifle that I will be using to dispatch them quickly, thoroughly, and most decidedly. So, let that be a warning if there are any groundhogs or rabbits listening. Stay out of my garden, okay? Because I will put you down. Let's get straight into the news here. We got news today. I ran across this one on Fox News. This is rather strange here. Bizarre video of creature resembling Dobby the Elf of Harry Potter caught on home camera. You remember Dobby the Elf? Dobby the Free Elf, Dobby the House Elf, right? You know, my kids just love Dobby. But there was just something about him that just grated on my nerves. I mean, for one, he's really gross. The guy never bathes. Dirty clothes, you know, picked his nose. And those ears and those giant eyes just freaked me out. You know, so I was never a fan of Dobby the House Elf. But, you know, apparently he didn't really die. Let's just read the story so you know what I'm talking about. A strange video circulating online shows an elf-like creature many are saying resembles the character Dobby from the Harry Potter film franchise. And I watched this video. You know, go online and, you know, on Fox News and search on Dobby, the house elf, and you'll see this looks like Dobby to me. You know, Dobby has been resurrected. The short clip has gone viral after being posted to Twitter on Friday by a user who says it was put up on the Facebook page of a woman named Vivian Gomez. A security camera at the home captured the clip, which shows a small figure with skinny legs and large ears walking down a driveway and doing a dance. Okay, maybe it's just someone had too much to drink. I don't know. There's some weird-looking people out there. You know, someone's going to answer that Facebook comment and say, yeah, that was me. I had too much to drink again. In what appears to be the original post, Gomez said she woke up on Sunday to see the bizarre footage. First, I saw the shadow walking from my door. Then I saw this thing. Has anyone else seen this on their cameras? She asked. You know, and that's, you might be thinking, what does this have to do with home defense? You know, if you don't have video cameras, you really don't know what's going on. Who is on your property? You know, maybe you don't know. Who's walking across your lawn or in your driveway at 2 o'clock in the morning? You need to get some type of security system with video camera surveillance. You could have Dobby the Elf walking across your driveway. You could have, you know, Sasquatch could be visiting, aliens from outer space. Don't you want to know about those things? Giant alien tick monsters could be walking up to your front door and you don't even know it. That's something you need to know. Some eagle-eyed Twitter users pointed out that at one point in the video there appears to be two shadows and mused that someone could have created the elf-like puppet and set it off, but it could be real. This could be a real Dobby the house elf. Dobby rides again. Whatever the explanation is, the sighting is certainly bizarre. Harry Potter fans were eager to celebrate a possible return of Dobby as the beloved character who tragically died in the sixth film in the franchise, Deathly Hallows. You know, my son Phoenix. You should have seen. He cried like a baby when Dobby died. You know, I didn't cry. I figure, you know, hey, everybody's going to die, right? It was a good death. Dobby lived a good life, and he had a good death. I am content to let Dobby rest in peace. J.K. Rowling, the author of that series, she went on Twitter, I think, and she said, "This year, I apologize for killing someone who didn't die during the Battle of Hogwarts, but who laid down his life to save the people who'd win it. I refer, of course, to Dobby the House Elf," she wrote. I think, you know, J.K., you got nothing to apologize for. I mean, I've killed millions in my books. I kill people in my books all the time. I'm not going to apologize for it. Most of them deserve to die. I prefer to kill the bad guys. Yeah, Dobby technically was a good guy. I mean, let's face it. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends, right? We could reword that. Greater love has no house elf than to lay down his life for his friends. So, Dobby, I think you're still dead. May you rest in peace. But it was a nice video. So check that out on foxnews.com. All right, let's get a little more action here. Let's go to bearingarms.com. The headline reads, "Woman kills escaped prisoner who kicked her door in." I wonder if this escaped prisoner was related to Dobby. Was it an elf? Was it a dwarf? Was it Bigfoot? Well, let's read and find out. "I'm not sure anything will get the collective heart rates of a community racing quite like an escaped prisoner in the area. Hollywood has told us countless stories of the horrors that can befall people at the hands of escapees. The fact that some of these are based on true stories certainly doesn't help with that." You know, I think it's true confession time here. Now, I want you guys to be honest with me. Whenever you hear on the news that there's an escaped prisoner or there's been a mass shooting or whatever, and the person is still at large and they're in your area, don't you just get kind of maybe a perverse excitement? I mean, that little adrenaline rush, that feeling, that tingling feeling that goes all the way down your arms to your hands, right on down to your trigger finger. I mean, don't you get excited about that? You know, it's kind of like watching a tornado, right? When there's a tornado warning, it's like, whoa, cool. Man, this is so cool. Yeah, I might die, but it's just so cool. Or maybe, you know, when you get a severe weather, a blizzard in the wintertime, and you're snowed in, and then the lights go out. It's exciting in a way, but maybe everyone's not like me. But I love when that happens. There's a certain part of me that just says, yes, another crisis. I get to deal with it. Let me know what you think. SkipCoriel@hotmail.com. Send me an email, all right? But then again, I digress. Back to the story. For one South Carolina woman, that fear became all too real until she used her Second Amendment rights to rewrite the script. An inmate who had escaped minutes earlier from a county jail in South Carolina was shot and killed by a woman after he kicked in her back door, the local sheriff said. Inmate, you picked the wrong door. The inmate was still in his orange jail jumpsuit and had grabbed a knife sharpening tool from the woman's kitchen in Pickens as he headed towards her bedroom around 3 a.m. Tuesday, Pickens County Sheriff Rick Clark said. You know, I hate those orange jumpsuits. You know, his is probably all, it's probably orange and red now. Quote, this was a big guy. If she hadn't had a weapon, there's no telling what would have happened, Sheriff Clark said. I gave her a big hug. I told her how proud I was of her. Yeah, that sounds like my kind of sheriff there. So I like this guy. The woman was home alone and had gone through training to get a concealed weapons permit, Clark said. Bruce McLaughlin, Jr., age 30, died from a gunshot wound to the head. Oh, that's probably not funny, is it? Died from a gunshot wound to the head, Pickens County Coroner Candy Kelly said. You know, that probably wasn't a tough call for the coroner. A gunshot wound to the head. Those are pretty self-explanatory. You go, yep, there's a hole in his head. Yep, there's the gun. There's the bullet. I think he died. Sheriff Clark, speaking on the incident, summed it up pretty well. Remember this when people ask why anyone needs a gun. What were this woman's options? Sure, she could call 911, but she'd probably have been dead before they got there. It's unlikely that pepper spray would have been effective under the circumstances. A baseball bat, the preferred weapon for most who don't own a firearm, would likely have been deflected and turned away. No, she needed a gun. She had a gun, and she used it. You know, that about sums it up right there. She's the one still on the right side of the dirt. There was no alternative. Further, this is what women's empowerment really looks like. She used the best tool for the job and put a permanent end to the threat. She took responsibility for her safety and effectively utilized that responsibility. Yet there will still be those who will claim she's out of line. Morons. I fully expect to start hearing how the escapee was a good boy and how he didn't do anything wrong. Well, except do something bad to go into jail and then break out of jail. Other than those two things, he's probably a good guy. I'm sure this was all some nefarious plot by people who just dislike this sweet, innocent soul. But it's not. It rarely is. To be sure, this woman may well suffer trauma from what happened, despite coming out on the winning side. You know, lady, don't feel bad about this. I mean, you did us all a favor, right? And you're an excellent marksman. That's a really good shot. I mean, you know, a shot to the head, center of face, it leaves no doubt. Something few are prepared to do. She may well still feel unsafe in her home after what happened, and I don't think I could blame her. Well, my advice to her, buy more ammo, keep practicing, and wait for the next escaped prisoner. I hope that those around her will support her, get her any help she might need to get through this, and help her get back to her normal life. She deserves it. Ditto to that. She is a hero in my book, and I wish there were more heroes like her. That is just awesome. All right, well, what else do we have here? Let me look around. All right. Here, let's go back to Fox News here. This one just popped up. California sees surge in ammo sales ahead of new gun regulations. You know, what does that remind me of? That reminds me, do you remember when Barack Obama was first elected as president? Oh, man. Those were dark times, were they not? I remember people running out and buying all the ammo, all the guns they could get. And you couldn't even get 22 ammo. I had to beg and scrape and scrounge to get 22 ammo and 9mm for use on the range, right? I rent guns for people, and I supply the ammunition, which is a good deal, by the way. And but man, I had a terrible time. There were a lot of instructors who lowered their round count. State law here in Michigan requires 30 rounds, and some guys took it all the way down to 30 rounds. I think I went from like 100 down to about 60. But hey, if you can't get the ammo, you can't shoot, right? If you can't shoot, you can't get the concealed pistol license. But here in California, of all places, California ammunition providers are seeing a spike in sales ahead of a new state law that will clamp down on individuals trying to buy ammo. Proposition 63, which Governor Gavin Newsom made a cornerstone of his campaign and was approved by voters in 2016, is slated to go into effect July 1st. From San Bernardino to Ventura to Poway, whatever. Too many Californians have already died from gun violence, Newsom said last week. I championed Proposition 63 because it is beyond time that we take common sense actions such as these to keep deadly ammo out of the wrong hands and protect our communities. How many people have guns in California anyways? I mean, you need to control the ammo? You've got the guns, now you're going to take away the ammo. The law will create more restrictions on ammo buyers by forcing them to buy face-to-face from licensed dealers rather than the internet, according to the Los Angeles Times. What's the point? What's the point in that? It's like, if you can look them in the eye, then you'll know whether or not they're a criminal or they have nefarious intent just by looking at them. Good luck with that. Advocates of the measure see it as a way to close loopholes on gun laws that focus on firearms rather than ammo. Proponents, however, believe Prop 63 unfairly punishes law-abiding gun owners. Do you think? The law's tough restrictions have prompted gun owners to stock up on ammo. OC Gun Store owner Scott Bodkin, who was cited by the Los Angeles Times, said his sales have doubled in recent weeks. Quote, people are gearing up for it, he said, of the new law. They are buying a lot. They don't like it. It's just another typical California deterrent to make things tougher for gun owners. Yes, absolutely tougher. Well, that reminds me of Bruce Willis, right? The first Die Hard movie, right? He comes to the airport, and, you know, there's crazy-looking people all over. You know, they're jostling him and all that. I mean, he's from New York City, right? As if that's not crazy enough. He goes to California, Southern California, and he goes, effin' California. You know, and that about sums it up, doesn't it? Effin' California. They're just crazy. Let them all go crazy. But, you know, Donald Trump wants to build a wall on the southern border, and I think he should. But can we build a wall all along the California border, too? Because I don't want those guys getting out of there. They're like crazy as loons. Please stay in California. Don't leave. It's a sinking ship, I know. Can we just get a giant skill saw and just cut it right along the San Andreas Fault or somewhere along there and just let it drift off? You know, you can be another continent if you like. Do whatever you want. Just please, please, we need a firewall between America and the rest of California. Crazy as loons. Effing California. All right. Okay, I went long here, but I wanted to get that in there. We've got a 2-minute break here, coming up. While we are away, check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical, firearmslegal.com, FLP. Man, these guys are fantastic. Firearms Legal Protection. Check them out. They will protect your family from the criminal justice system. And, of course, you need practice. You need training. Go to Center Shot Indoor Gun Range, centershotgunrange.com, where it's always a perfect 70 degrees when we come back. Salvatore De Janeiro, he's going to talk about answering your doors. Should you answer your door? It could be Dobby the Elf. Look before you open that door. All right, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks. I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 19 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel. Would you like to take your tactical and marksmanship training to the next level? If the answer is yes, you need to check out Center Shot Indoor Gun Range just south of Grand Rapids, conveniently located off US 131. Center Shot is one of the most advanced firing ranges in Michigan. Center Shot firing lanes have nearly 100 customizable shooting programs to make you better no matter what your skill level. Our advanced lanes allow a more immersive training experience to enhance your senses. Controlled lighting and target movement mean that you get the best practice and most fun out of Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Memberships are available for as low as $150. Center Shot also offers a 10% discount to U.S. military veterans. So, no matter what the weather, hot, cold, or in between, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range is always a perfect 70 degrees. This is where I train every week, and so should you. Find out more by going to CenterShotGunRange.com or call them at 616-371-7468. Stay safe, and I'll see you at Center Shot Indoor Gun Range.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. There's your host, Skip Coriel. Boy, today I ran across a new friend, a trainer, from usacarry.com. He writes for them. His name is Salvatore De Janeiro. Salvatore, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Skip.
Well, you know, Salvatore, I got on the internet there, and usacarry.com, it's a good website. It's one of my go-to places for information. And I read several of your articles. They were really, really quite good. Salvatore, my listeners haven't heard you yet, so why don't you just, spend a minute or so telling people about all things Salvatore De Janeiro. Who are you?
Yeah, sure. I'm just a regular guy. I have no background in the field of door kicking. You know, I love those guys, and I hang out with a lot of them, but I'm not one myself. So overall, the main thing I am is a lifelong practitioner and perpetual student of the concealed carry lifestyle. I'm an avid shooter. I do some competition shooting. I teach a lot of new people to shoot. And, a few years back, I got into the writing. So I write for Concealed Carry, a few other places as well. And really what I strive to do with that is just serve as a reliable conductor of information that's vetted, that can be relied upon to be good stuff. And I always approach that from the perspective of the average guy or girl out there carrying a gun, or who has a firearm for home protection. So always from that perspective, again, you know, I'm not law enforcement or military background, but I am a lifelong carrier of protective firearm, and I teach other people to do the same.
Sure. Sal, what section of the country do you operate out of?
I'm in Virginia.
Virginia. Okay, great.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. In Northern Virginia, actually. So a pretty crowded place, but still a very nice place.
Yeah.
A nice state overall. We've always had pretty good gun rights here, and mm-hmm. lately we're struggling to maintain those. So I'm hoping we do.
Yeah. Well, you have a really good state-level gun rights group there. I think it's Virginia Citizens.
Yes. Defense League, yep,
yeah,
correct, and,
yeah.
And they're excellent, and in fact, they really are. They're very effective, and they really are a great resource. You know, even for people outside of Virginia, you know, look to them to see how effective a state level group can be. I'm a member, of course, and you know, I support them every step of the way, obviously. So they're a really great organization, and it just shows you how effective a grassroots state-level group can be. And as probably most of your listeners know, that's really where the fight is for our rights currently. It's at the state level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, Sal, I'm always interested when I talk to people from other parts of the country. I live in Michigan. I've been to Virginia a few times. You know, when we held the Second Amendment March there way back in 2010, actually that was in Washington, D.C. We didn't want to stay in Washington, D.C., so we stayed in Arlington where we could, you know, carry our guns. And then, you know, on the day of the event, we went over to the Washington Memorial and had the event there. But we didn't want to sleep in Washington, D.C., so...
I can't blame you at all. Can't blame you at all.
Well, it's like, okay, I can be free, I can be a citizen, mm-hmm. or I can be a subject. And, you know, Washington, D.C. has got some really nice monuments and things, and it's got a history and all of that. But I don't know. There just seems to be something in the water in Washington, D.C. that makes everyone stupid and give up their rights. So,
you know, it's interesting. It's interesting you say that, because just to put that in perspective for you, at least 2 years ago, I've not looked since, but I think it was 2017, there was roughly 250, I think a little more, homicides in Washington, D.C., a city with a population of just over 600,000. Northern Virginia, which has a population of 1.5 million, where every guy and his brother has a gun, had 8 homicides that same year. So I'll just throw that out there for everybody listening.
Wow, that's quite a coincidence. I wonder how that
happened. Isn't that something, how that works?
Well, you and I, we know the reality of it, and we know the facts. But Virginia... Fantastic. How is your concealed carry law there in Virginia? I always like to, you know, juxtapose, you know, my home state of Michigan with other states. So what kind of concealed carry law do you have there in Virginia?
It's very good. You have to have a permit. We're not a constitutional carry state. We just don't have the traction to get that passed at the moment. But if you have a Virginia permit and you can get non-resident permits, and by the way, I think as of now we actually reciprocate all permits in the nation. Don't quote me verbatim on that, but I believe as of now we do. So we're gun friendly overall, you know, and our permits, basically, unless it's a federal building, our permits allow us to go pretty much anywhere. Obviously, you know, private companies or private property of any kind, they can prohibit that, but otherwise, the permit really, and we have complete preemption. So in other words, state level laws overwrite any local ordinance. There's just recently been a fight about that in one city here in Northern Virginia, but generally we have good preemption. So anywhere in the state you go, it's consistent.
Oh, that's good. Michigan has the same thing. It sounds like Virginia might be a little bit better than Michigan as far as, you know, being friendly to concealed mm-hmm. carriers. But, you know, we're working on that. Right now, the trend here in Michigan, you know, we have an anti-gun governor, attorney general, and secretary of state now. We still hold the legislature, but it looks like we're not going to be able to further advance our gun rights a whole lot What is the trend looking like there in Virginia?
Well, unfortunately, 2 years ago, the election, we still hold just a very narrow majority in our state house. Before that, the state was solidly red, almost two-thirds majority in the state house, although the past few governors have been blue. But, you know, these things do go in cycles. Obviously, you know, there was somewhat of a blue wave following, of course, Trump's election. You know, it always favors the opposite party, right? So mm-hmm. Who comes out in force. So this time around, I'm hoping we at least maintain control because, you know, unfortunately, we all know where the attack on Second Amendment rights comes from. And I'm hoping we can maintain control. But generally, we've had blue governors as well as senators coming from this state predominantly for the past 10 or 15 years.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, Michigan is kind of like that. I mean, we went for Trump this last time around, but then we lost the governorship and attorney general and secretary of state's billets. But, you know, it is cyclical, and we're hoping that, you know, we can come back around and make a good comeback.
Absolutely. The only thing we can do is we have to remind people you have to vote in every election. If you're serious about your constitutional rights, you vote in every election. There's no getting around that.
Yeah. Now, Sal, you mentioned that you do some competition shooting. Tell us about that.
So I shoot IDPA from time to time, actually, the past couple of years. It's been pretty infrequent. I'm hoping before the year is out to do a few matches, but I'm a big advocate of all forms of competitive shooting. I personally shoot IDPA just because when I compete, I shoot with my real carry gun from my real concealment mode, and I can be a bit more competitive than IDPA doing that. But they're all great, all of the action shooting sports, IDPA, USPSA. If you're a concealed carrier, you should do yourself a favor, and even if you're not really into competitive shooting, get out and shoot a few matches. There's no better way to really build some stress inoculation as well as really test your gear. Go shoot it with your real carry gear, you know, and there's a lot of benefits that come out of doing that. So, you know, that's really why I do it. I've never been, you know, I don't go to a match, you know, wearing a jersey with sponsors and all that, and I'm just not, you know, a competitive shooter guy. I go there and I dress like I walk the street, and I shoot it with the gear that I walk the streets with, and it's a really great habit to get into.
Well, you know, I think you're right, and, you know, that's one of the things that Rob Pincus from Personal Defense Network, he advocates, you know, that you do that as well. And, you know, basically, you know, and he's friends with Rob Latham, you know, a big competitive shooter, and those two will go at it sometimes. Yeah. But, you know, they're both friends, they get along well, and it's just, okay, you know, there's some things that happen in the real world where competition doesn't prepare you for, but the stress level, it definitely does. And if you can desensitize yourself to stress, you know, via shooting competition, boy, that is just a great thing. Plus, you know, it helps with your accuracy. And I love that you compete with your carry rig. But tell us, Sal, tell us what you talked about, the ideal carry rig. What is Sal's ideal carry rig?
So I am a firm believer in minimizing how many guns you rely on, because when you jump back and forth between different platforms, especially if they have significantly different manual of arms, you know, you're taking away from your overall skills development with that. You know, even top competitive shooters, they might jump around, but they will stay for a season or for the year, whatever the case may be, with a particular platform. When it comes to carrying, you really need to kind of hone in and dedicate your time. Because let's face it, most of us are time constrained. We don't spend hours a day doing this stuff. Yeah. So the time we spend training, maximize it with what you carry. I believe in the modern polymer-framed, striker-fired, double-stack 9mm. That's what I like. Mm-hmm. You know, all the craze now is the single-stack guns, and they're great. I personally find it's not much harder to carry one of the compact double stacks. For example, the past couple of years, my main gun is the Glock 26.
Mm-hmm.
I can carry it in pretty much anything I wear. And, of course, I carry full-size magazines for the reload, so it gives me a tremendous amount of versatility. It's still a very capable gun, but even compared to a 19 or a 17, I find it conceals much easier, but I don't give up that much practical performance with it. So you have a really substantial fighting gun that's still very small, but going with the double-stack magazines, for me in the 21st century, that's the gun. But you know, if you're into the single stack guns, they're also very good, very shootable, chambered in 9mm. So the main thing is just carry something that you're actually going to carry, because I know guys who swear that they always carry a full-size service gun, and every time I see them in public, they're not actually carrying their gun.
Yeah,
you know, so whatever it is, just make sure you carry it.
Yeah, you know, Sal, I agree with you 100%. You know, I like Glocks. I've got a Glock Model 22, and I, you know, that's in my bedroom, you know, for home defense, and I practice with that. But I carry a 9mm. You know, it's a full frame Smith & Wesson M&P, the Performance Center. It's got the, you know, ported barrel on it, a little less recoil. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great gun, no doubt about it.
Well, it's a nice gun. It's a big gun, though, and you know, I concede that. You know, before that I carried an M&P Shield, but, you know, then I got into, you know, executive protection and then also on my church safety team. And I just come to realize the more I studied, the more I practiced, you know, for the longer shots, it's nicer to have, you know, a bigger frame gun, a longer sight radius, longer barrel, just because, you know, I'm probably 5 or 10% more accurate with the full frame gun than I am with the compact. It's nice to carry a compact, but if you, for certain jobs, you just need you know, more rounds and greater range. But you know, that's the nice thing about us gun guys. We love to get together. We love to talk about, you know, our rigs, you know, what kind of holster we have, what kind of gun we have, and the hardware is so fun to talk about.
Yeah, there's no doubt. The thing that the trap we fall into is all of the guys in this craft, and we're enthusiasts, sometimes we lose sight of the fact that the average person with a concealed carry permit, 99% of them don't even carry on a regular basis.
That's right.
Those that do, we're lucky if they're putting, you know, a 380 in their pocket when they're walking out the door. So, mm-hmm. you know, Yeah, those of us who are as enthusiasts, we believe in carrying as much gun as you can, because, you know, we're focused on those outlier events too. What if I have to make the 50 or 75 yard shot with just my handgun, et cetera? But, you know, now we're talking at a level that, again, the average concealed carrier doesn't even begin to consider. So I think ultimately, you know, step one is just encouraging folks, hey, just carry. Even if it's something very small, it's better you have that than you're unarmed.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, something like the M&P Shield, you know, or a smaller framed Glock, you know, will certainly do that.
It's a pretty formidable gun. You know, something like the Shield is pretty formidable.
Yeah.
You know, so I would much rather see people carrying that than something even smaller, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a real advocate of, you know, like the, maybe the bodyguard, Smith & Wesson bodyguard, something really small, simply because, well, you know, it's good at its job, you know, but it's really limited to, all right, this is an anti-mugging device. I can make that shot from 5-6 feet away. But, you know, that's just
agreed.
Me.
Agreed. Yeah. You know, it's also the reliability of the real small one that I just don't trust.
Yeah.
That honestly is a big part of it for me.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. We are speaking with Salvatore DeGennaro out of Northern Virginia, writer from USACarry.com. Sal, we're going to go ahead. We're going to take a two-minute break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about some of your writing, because you've got some good articles out there on USACarry.com. So can you stick around here for a couple of minutes?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, folks, we got a two-minute break. While we are away, I want you to go ahead and check out our sponsors. Check out firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical. And then also Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Go to centershotgunrange.com, where it's always a perfect 70 degrees. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks. I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, The Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 19 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, The Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now. Would you like to take your tactical and marksmanship training to the next level? If the answer is yes, you need to check out Center Shot Indoor Gun Range just south of Grand Rapids, conveniently located off US 131. Center Shot is one of the most advanced firing ranges in Michigan. Center Shot firing lanes have nearly 100 customizable shooting programs to make you better no matter what your skill level. Our advanced lanes allow a more immersive training experience to enhance your senses. Controlled lighting and target movement mean that you get the best practice and most fun out of Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Memberships are available for as low as $150. Center Shot also offers a 10% discount to U.S. military veterans. So, no matter what the weather, hot, cold, or in between, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range is always a perfect 70 degrees. This is where I train every week, and so should you. Find out more by going to CenterShotGunRange.com or call them at 616-371-7468. Stay safe, and I'll see you at Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Hey folks, I want to tell you about my new book, Concealed Carry for Christians. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and your family, and that includes people of faith. Our churches are not as safe as they used to be, and that's why I included chapters on forming church safety teams and stopping mass shooters. You can get Concealed Carry for Christians real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Concealed Carry for Christians, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Concealed Carry for Christians by yours truly, Skip Coriel. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Today we're speaking with a firearms trainer and competitor, all-around good gun guy, Salvatore DeGennaro from Northern Virginia. Sal, you know, I went on usacarry.com, an awesome site, and I was reading several of your articles, and the first one that really caught my eye was about answering your door, you know, home defense. Tell us about, you know, that article. What are some of the main points of that article? What do you recommend for people as far as answering their door?
Yeah, you know, I wrote that article because that is actually a topic that when you generally read what's out there about home defense, this topic pretty often gets ignored, completely ignored. So, you know, when it comes to defending the home, we look at really three categories. You know, we want to deter the criminal element, we want to detect it, and we want to defend against it if all else fails, right? Well, when you answer your door and open it up to the world, you have now just voided all of those defensive mechanisms. So all of us on a daily basis, we answer our door, or maybe not daily, but every few days, certainly, we tend to, if we live in suburbia, at least, we answer the door routinely. So when we do that, people have to bear in mind that a very common ruse that has really emerged in the past few years is home invasion crews will actually send somebody up to the door to feign some completely legitimate sounding thing. You know, maybe they send a woman up to the door who says, oh, you know, my car broke down, can I use your phone? Or, you know, yeah, we're in the neighborhood cleaning gutters, whatever the case may be. And you open the door up, and then a few guys hiding around the corner charge through your door. You just opened it for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, I'm not going to be paranoid like that. Well, this is the reality of what's out there, what can happen, right? So when we think in terms of actually answering the door, first consider your door. Obviously, hardening your doors is a huge part of home defense. The average residential door is literally a one-kick door.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it demonstrated, and I've done it myself. One kick, you can break through the lock mechanism, break it right off the frame, and you'd be in through that door.
All right, well, Sal, so, you know, Sal, I got to interrupt you here.
Yeah.
Before we go on, you got to tell me, whose door did you kick in?
it was my own. It was my own years ago. So I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Too personal. All right. Good enough.
Yes. No, I have no BNE record in my past. So I'll clarify that. Right. So now, but that's something to bear in mind, right? So they're very easy to breach. So we want to harden those. One great way to harden that. Not time now to talk about entering deep set screws and all of that to make sure you're, you know, biting into the frame. That's all very good. But, you know, one of those regular door braces, it's a little security bar that you can extend or make smaller. You know, you put them up against the doorknob and just make sure they're not directly on tile or something where they can easily slip. But if you have them set up correctly, it's incredible how much abuse that door can then take and withstand. Mm-hmm. You know, so outside of that, though, keep your doors locked during the day. I know so many people who might lock it at night, and there's two reasons to keep your doors locked at all times. Not only is it safer for you and your own family, it's safer for other people. Because let me ask you, Skip, how many incidents now have you heard of people being intoxicated or whatever, and they happen to walk into the wrong house in the neighborhood, and they get killed because they're in the wrong house, they think they're in their own house? Right. So let's not put ourselves there. Keep your doors locked during the day. Okay. So outside of that, though, when we talk about answering the door, it happens all the time. You know, somebody comes up to the door in our neighborhood, nothing out of the ordinary there. You need to be able to see past your door without opening it. So that's the first consideration. And I like to be able to do that without relying on just the peephole in the door itself. Because to use that, you have to go near the door. And if there is indeed something dangerous beyond the door, you don't want to be near the door.
Mm-hmm.
So really your two options there, and I talk about this in the article, is depending on how your house is set up. For example, mine is set up with a bay window near the front where I can very easily see the whole front entryway up to the door, and I can see exactly who's at the door. So if I get an unexpected ring, I don't even go over to the door. I look out there and I can see everything around the entryway to the house. If your house is not set up that way, then get one of these remote intercom systems. You know, they're very cheap now. You have an actual camera outside and you can speak to whoever's standing out there without going near the door. And I suggest putting the remote intercom somewhere deeper in the house so you can respond to somebody outside without going near the door. And my other suggestion is, if you don't home carry, well, why don't you stage your handgun in a quick access safe right where you have that intercom answering system?
Yeah.
Right? So now we don't actually have to go near the danger zone. We can identify who's out there, and then we can act accordingly. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, that makes good sense. As far as staging your firearm, Sal, what type of safes do you use to stage your guns around the home?
Yeah, I have a few different ones. There's a lot of them. My only advice is I am very wary of the biometric ones, because all of the ones that I've tried fail too often.
I've had the same problem.
So that's my only advice. Otherwise, just get something that's pretty secure and opens pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And again, I'll come back to the fact that I believe in home carry, even if it's something small on you. You know, you come in from the day and you put a J-frame in your pocket or whatever. That's the best gun, the gun that's on you.
Yeah.
You know, outside of that, I absolutely believe in staging a full-size handgun somewhere and a long gun, too, you know, in the safe room. You know, that's all applicable. But again, think in terms of when you're actually answering the door, you're not going to be holding an AR-15 when you go and answer your door, right?
So, that's true, yes.
So the J-frame in your pocket is a lot more valuable to you at that point.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, so, you know, in terms of that, you know, stay away from the door. So if somebody comes to the door that you're not expecting, they most likely it's completely legitimate. My advice really is don't open the door. Speak through the door. Again, if you have a intercom system like that, you can do that over that system. If not, most North America residential construction allows you to speak loud enough you can communicate through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And here's a great way to handle that. And I mentioned this in that article, is you want to answer who's at the door. You don't want to stay silent, because this is proven statistics. The vast majority of home invasions are not actually violent home invasions where the invaders are coming in to specifically abuse the people inside. You know, that's the minority, but that's the real scary minority. Most are daytime burglaries where they're targeting a home that they think nobody's in.
Mm-hmm.
So just by you acknowledging their presence and answering the door, not opening the door, but answering them, you're going to, turn that off before it starts.
Yeah.
So the thing to do, though, is when you answer the door, especially if you have not opened it, one of the benefits is, now we don't like to be rude, right? We try to be polite people, and we don't like to be rude, you know, and we can probably identify, hey, it's the Boy Scouts out there, you know, selling
right.
whatever, you know, and that's fine. But, you know, somebody we don't know, and we don't have the right feeling about it, they say they're a contractor or something. If you don't open the door, you have the perfect opportunity to do two things, to still be polite, and also now plant something in their mind. And my suggestion is, when you talk to them through the door or through the intercom system, say, I'm so sorry, I can't talk right now, I have guests.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. So now if you have a home invader standing out there, you've just been courteous, in case most likely it's not a home invader. But if it's a home invader, you just put in their mind, hey, there might be a house full of people in there
exactly.
that I did not anticipate.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, actually, you know, that's
a good
yeah.
idea. Real good idea.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. You know, and you're able to accomplish all of that without opening the door. You're not being rude. And now you've just placed something in their mind that makes them reconsider whatever it is they might be considering. And at that point, obviously, if somebody tries to start breaching your door, now you know it's on.
Yeah. Yeah, Sal, it's one of the problems that I have. You know, and this is something that I've just driven home to my wife over and over again. She is a much nicer person than I am. I mean,
they always are, aren't they? Yeah.
They are, and it's like her nature is to open the door with a smile. Oh, hi, how are you today? Oh,
absolutely.
Why don't you come on in? And you know, that's her greatest strength, but it's also her greatest weakness. You know, because most of the time, that's okay. They're good people at the door. But every once in a while, they're not. And I've got her convinced now, you know, to not open the door, to talk to them through the door. You're giving us fantastic advice here. But, you know, every once in a while, somebody will open the door. Actually, more often than we'd like to admit. It does happen. So you're giving
Absolutely.
Us great advice here. We've got, you know, about 2 or 3 minutes left, Sal. What other good home defense advice can you give the listeners?
Definitely you have to have the plan with your family. For example, just like you're talking about, you know, with your wife, you know, my wife, that's why they're our better half typically, right? You know,
yeah, right.
Our wives are typically just, you know, better people. Persons than we
yes.
are, but you know, the discussion I've had, and my family is good about this, when I'm not home, they don't open the door to anyone they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the battle that I fight is when I'm home, then, you know, Dad is the designated home defender, right? And everybody mm-hmm. feels safe. So they'll leave the door unlocked and that kind of stuff. And I try to get them out of that habit. But, you know, if I'm gone, if I come home in the evening and everybody's home except me, the place is locked up like Fort Knox. So at least they're good about that when I'm not there. So you want to make sure your kids are not in the habit of opening that door. I have two little boys, and they've both learned to, they go to that bay window and peek out the blinds to see who's out there. Get them conditioned to that and not just opening the door. Get them conditioned to keeping the doors locked while everybody is home, even if it's during the daytime. And, you know, have that defensive plan where if your spouse, even if your spouse is not really on board as far as home defense, make it known that, hey, if something happens, if there's a breach of the door or anywhere else, you get those kids to the safe room, mm-hmm. whatever that is in your house that you designate. And then you, as the defender, you take whatever action is necessary. You know, if there's time, this is the thing that we have to remind people of. Even with home invasion, there is not the amount of time that people think there is. You look at all these surveillance cameras of how fast it happens. That's why you definitely want to harden the door, so at least your one-kick door is now a 5 or 6 kick
yeah.
door.
Yep.
Right? Because you need some time. But the reality is, usually there's not time to get everybody into the safe room, and you get in the safe room, and everybody's behind the bed, and you grab your AR-15 or your shotgun. Majority of times, it doesn't play out that way. Sometimes it does. And if it does, that's ideal. That's where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Let them take whatever they want to take out of the house. That would be my other main advice, is let them take whatever they want. That's what your homeowner's insurance is for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay. If they don't come in the room, right? If they don't come in the room where your most precious commodity, your family
exactly.
members are,
yeah.
let them take whatever they want. The line they can't cross is coming in that room.
You know, that is really good advice, Sal. I think that you've given us a lot of really good stuff to talk about, in segment 4 when I come back. So, and you know what? I agree with everything that you've said. I think we are of one mind. And, you know, we had 3 articles of yours that we wanted to talk about. We got through the first one. So we're going to have you back on the show again at a later time, Sal, because I think there's a whole lot more to talk about when it comes to
absolutely. I'd love to anytime. You know, the one parting thing I would leave people with is remember that things happen faster than you ever predict it would. That is the thing with all self-defense, whether in public, in your vehicle, in the home, it happens fast. So prepare
yeah.
accordingly.
Well, Sal, before you go, tell people how they can get a hold of you, how they can read your articles, that type of thing.
Sure, absolutely. I have my own blog as well. It's reflexhandgun.com, spelled just like that, reflexhandgun.com. So you can contact me through there. I write a bunch of articles for that as well. I write primarily for USA Carry as far as my main writing, and that's a great site. All the authors from USA Carry, we try to put out really good stuff, so I encourage people to go read what we have out there.
Awesome. All right. Again, that's reflexhandgun.com.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Sal, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show today.
Thank you so much, Skip. Keep up the great work. I've been going through your back catalog. You've got all kinds of great information out there. So I have plenty to do with that now.
All right. Thank you, Sal. All right, folks, we got a 2-minute break here. While we are away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, farmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical, and then also centershotgunrange.com, where it's always a perfect 70 degrees. And don't forget to check out Salvatore De Janeiro at reflexhandgun.com. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love.
Get the benefit of 19 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get civilian combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coryell Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coryell.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coryell, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. Listen, folks, evil exists. Someday evil will visit your door. Will you be ready? If you're not, now is the time to start looking into it and learning the skills necessary to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, an Iowa man died over the weekend after police say he was fatally injured serving the life of a 5-year-old daughter who was being mauled by a dog. Deputies with the Lee County Sheriff's Office were called to a Fort Madison home near the old Iowa State Prison at around 10:31 a.m. over reports of a dog attack.
Well, Colonel, I thought you and I could have a good conversation about this, get a little banter going back and forth about dog attacks. First, to start out, I looked up some stats on dog attacks because there's some controversy there. You know, a lot of dog owners are very protective about their animals. They don't like to think that their dog could ever do anything wrong. So I looked up the facts. What exactly are they? In 2018, 83% of attacks resulting in human death occurred on the dog owner's property, and 73% were carried out by pit bulls. So according to the stats, pit bulls are definitely the most dangerous. They cause 73% of the fatalities on humans.
Well, I don't want to be killed by one, but I don't want to get torn apart by one either. The fact that I got to live isn't that big a deal.
Yeah, well, you know, there were pit bulls mostly, but then there were some German shepherds thrown in there as well. But much of the time, it turns out the people who are being killed, they actually have a relationship with the dog. They either own the dog or they live in the home with the dog.
Wow.
And some of the speculation about pit bulls is they have a tendency when they grab, they don't let go. And in this particular case, you know, the 33-year-old father, he saved his daughter, but the dog would not let go. And as a result, you know, he died.
Wow. Well, I guess when you have a critter, pit bull or whatever kind, they are who they are. And they don't necessarily have to follow any rules.
Right.
And that's part of having the critter in your family, in your community, whatever.
Yeah. Now, obviously, the vast majority of, you know, pit bulls or German shepherds or whatever, they're very friendly and they get along with the family and all that. For our purposes, though, for self-defense, really the best protection against an aggressive dog isn't a firearm. It really is pepper spray or pepper gel, something like that.
That makes sense. That's going to definitely affect any dog with eyes and nose, and those are his two major.
Yeah, well, Colonel, the thing about dogs is they have highly sensitive noses, and I looked up some of the facts. A dog possesses up to 300 million olfactory receptors in their noses compared to about 6 million in the human nose. So if pepper spray works on a human, it's going to work, 300 million times more on a dog?
Well, that makes sense. And all you've got to do is have it within hand's reach every time you're near that dog.
And it's legal wherever you take it. So it's a good idea. Even if you don't want to carry a gun, carry some kind of pepper spray or pepper gel with you.
Makes sense. Thanks, Skip.
Hey, folks, I want to tell you about my new book, Concealed Carry for Christians. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and your family, and that includes people of faith. Our churches are not as safe as they used to be, and that's why I included chapters on forming church safety teams and stopping mass shooters. You can get Concealed Carry for Christians real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coryell, Concealed Carry for Christians, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Concealed Carry for Christians by yours truly, Skip Coriel. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. It's your host, Skip Coriel. Salvatore De Janeiro, pretty good guy. Good knowledge, expresses himself well. I hope to meet him in person someday, not just virtually. So, looking forward to that. Now for the wrap-up. We are about out of time. I tell you, I went way over in segment one. I apologize for that, but you have to admit, it was a good segment. I'm getting better at this job. I might do it again next week. Well, watch out for Dobby the House Elf. I fear that he's out there. He's on the loose. And once you've killed a house elf, man, they turn bad. They get nasty. So be careful. Watch out for Dobby the House Elf. Aside from that, check out more Salvatore De Janeiro. Check him out at his blog, reflexhandgun.com, reflexhandgun.com. And then also check out his articles on usacarry.com. Not sure what we're going to have next week. It'll be something good, something exciting, something that I enjoy. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. All right, we're going to take a break for about 7 days. So during that time, I want you to go to amazon.com and go ahead and buy Civilian Combat by Skip Coriel. Buy Concealed Carry for Christians by Skip Coriel. And then just go ahead and get Jack Pine Strong and maybe the God Virus series, all 4-in-1. You will love that. And of course, check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical, and let them help you protect your family. And also, go to Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Go there, do some shooting, and check out the website at centershotgunrange.com, where it is always a perfect 70 degrees. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America. Oh, and watch out for Dobby the House Elf. I don't trust that guy. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!